Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
My name is Jason Law. I get to serve as an elder here at the church. My wife, Beth, and I have been here for about 20, or I don't know, it's somewhere around there, years. But super honored to be able to do this and to speak with you all this morning. Pastor Bill, Pastor Sandy are on a way on some much-needed vacation after celebrating Kennedy and Dawson's wedding. Pastor Sandy turned 60, so they've had a doozy of a month. It's Mother's Day, so they're able to get away this weekend, and I'm honored to be able to speak with you all. They've made such an incredible impact in the life of Beth and I. I mean, we are who we are. Because, matter of fact, we are a couple because of this church. We met here, and so we are forever indebted to them and the impact that they have made in our life and to you all as well. So many people in this room have helped shape us and to be around friends in the room here. And so I just want to say thank you. It's an honor to be able to speak today. And I believe that God has a word for us. We talk about being in a season of revival. And I believe it is time to release that revival. That's going to be the premise of the word today. You know, in 2 Timothy verse 1, chapter 1, verse 6, it says this: "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands upon you." This is our responsibility. That fire that's been inside of us, when we talk about 103, I think Sheldon said, days of revival, it's our responsibility to fan that flame of revival and to keep it going. It's not just a number. It's not just something that we get up and say, but this is something that we keep fired, ignited inside of us to carry to the people around us. In 2019, going into 2020, before the pandemic, if you can remember, before the pandemic, Pastor Bill gave a word for our church. I believe he announced it the first time at the end of 19, and it was actually three words. It was revival. Does anybody remember the second one? And abundance. Revival, deliverance, and abundance. And if you're new to the church, this applies to you now. It's the way the kingdom works. You get hooked up, and you're rolling with what God is doing here. Revival, deliverance, and abundance. And over the last 12 to 14 months, I really feel like, even though it didn't happen how maybe we thought it would happen, has really been a season of revival. There's been a resetting, a refreshing, a pruning, a purging, a cutting, a way of different things. There's been a resting season for us individually, even maybe as the Big C Church, the body of Christ around the world. It's just been different, and God has taken a bad thing and he's turned it for good to create an atmosphere of revival in our lives and our church. And we're not going to leave that behind. Matter of fact, we're taking that revival with us because we're going to what? Fan the flame that God has put inside of us. Because we're on our way to a land of abundance. There's something great that God has for us out in front of us. And we're in that place of deliverance right now. It's like, man, we feel a shift. There's a crossing over taking place. There's a new era of ministry, a new impact, a new level that God has for you individually, for your family, but also for us as a church. And we're crossing over. God's got something great. And so from that place, I want to share with you today that we're going to continue to fan that flame. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, or a fear of timidity. I can't say that word sometimes. But of power, love, and of self-discipline. I want to jump into a part of the life of Jesus on earth. And throughout revival, if you remember, I don't expect you to remember this, but there's some of this that I shared in little moments. I get to host services here every now and then, and so I don't get to preach very often, so sometimes God will lay something on our heart, and Pastor Bill will leave a little moment where we can get up and exhort and encourage, and he'll ask us to share some things. So I've scattered some of this, but I really felt strongly to pull this together and deliver it to you today. It's something that was on my heart in February and March, and just watching us go through this revival season. And so I want to pick up in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. This is a moment in the life of Jesus on earth. And chapter 9 of Matthew is really like a highlight reel of the ministry of Jesus. He recruits Matthew. He raises a little girl from the dead. He confronts the Pharisees of this religious mindset they have. I mean, he is rolling. He's going around. He's healing people. He's preaching. And this is where we pick up this verse right here. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. This is a picture of, I believe, where we are in the world today. There are people both inside the church and outside the church that are weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. We've watched it unfold in our world. People are confused. They're running different directions. This is the image of not only then, but I believe of what's happening in the world today. We have tuned our ears into different voices. The Bible says if you strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. There have people who have been scattering and they're running different directions right now in confusion because they've given their ears to a different voice and they're lost. And it's our responsibility to go and to bring them back. There's too much noise. There's too much chatter out there. We have too much information that is influencing us and influencing the direction and how we lead our lives. Revival was an opportunity for us to silence that noise. And I want to continue to encourage you, let's silence that noise. Don't be ignorant, but silence the noise. God is speaking right now. He is getting us positioned. He is getting us ready to do something amazing. It is time to take the revival that we have. It is time to get it out. He wants to release the revival and he wants to do it through you. I'm going to talk more about that a little bit later. Let's pick up on verse 38. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his field." This was the famous passage of scripture back in the 1980s or the 70s that they would use when they wanted to rally people to go to the mission field. I get to lead an organization today founded by my father called World Compassion. He started it in 1969. We work in countries that are hostile to the gospel. We equip, train, and empower the local church in those places to reach their communities because we believe so strongly in the local church. Being planted and plugged in here at this church, it has a huge impact on how we do ministry around the world. So you guys are a part of that because it's in my DNA, and we take that and deposit it into others all over the world. And so typically we would use this passage of scripture to be a missionary call. And yes, we need more workers into the field. And at the end of the day, that's really what this message is about. Quick side note, I want to give you guys an update. Last year during the pandemic, Pastor Bill's got a healed CD that just goes through the truth of God's healing promise in his word. It's a phenomenal CD. If you're going through anything that's a health challenge, I'd encourage you to download it, listen to it. But we took that and we translated it into Mandarin, into Chinese, Farsi, Arabic, a couple different languages. And I got a report this last week that 12,000 people have downloaded that thing in Iran and have listened to it. Is that not amazing? And a psychologist, whatever you call them. Sorry if you're one and I got that wrong. They took CDs and they've burned it. And there's a whole network of psychologists that are passing that out and having their clients go through it because they're sitting there in their sessions and people are getting set free of emotional bondage in their lives. And I mean, it's amazing. So, okay, so that's a little bit about what we do. We got to keep going because I don't have a lot of time. You guys can't cheer. What am I even talking about now? That even distracted me. I got off on that. The fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few. So I don't want to make a missionary call today. I want to talk to you about the few. I believe you are one of the few. I believe that we are one of the few. And there's some characters and examples throughout scripture that we can learn, characteristic traits of the few in the Bible that I believe apply to us today as we're in this season of crossing over and getting prepared to go take the land, to go move into that land of abundance. Like the Israelites were standing at the Jordan River, getting ready to move into the promised land. They were getting ready. They were preparing themselves because there was a battle coming up. There's an opportunity. God is getting you positioned for an opportunity right now. And so I want to help prepare your mindset. I want to help lift your eyes and lift your spirits and lift your faith and get you ready because there's an opportunity coming. Someone asked Wayne Gretzky, he's a famous hockey player, if you don't know. I think he does. We confirmed last service. He still holds the record of most goals scored in the NHL. And somebody asked him, "What is your key? How are you able to score so many goals?" And he says, "I have an uncanny ability to anticipate where the puck is going to be, and I get there to seize the opportunity." That's what God's doing in your life right now. That's what he's doing in this church. He's getting us positioned. He's getting us ready because there's opportunity coming. That fire that's starting inside of you, we're going to keep fanning that flame. The fire that's inside of this church right now, there is dry, brittle ground outside in the world right now. And that fire is going to hit that thing, and revival is going to spread. People are going to start coming to Jesus through you. God wants to use you. The fields are white with harvest. Your field is white with harvest. Your field is white with harvest. It's about you. God has positioned you. He wants to do something through you. It's not from right here. These are equipping moments to get you ready to go out and accomplish what God has called you to do. So I need you to lift your eyes because your fields are white with harvest this morning. Two spies out of the 12. You guys remember this story in the Israelites? They sent 12 spies into the promised land. 10 of them came back with a negative report. 2 came back with a positive report. Joshua and Caleb, what's the difference? They saw things differently. Number one, the few see things differently. Joshua and Caleb went and they looked at that land through the lens of what God told them would happen. They trusted God. They believed God. The rest of the people looked through the lens of their past, their circumstances, their natural senses. They couldn't believe what God told them to be true. They couldn't believe that they could possibly go defeat those giants, and as a result, an entire generation missed out on the blessing that God had for them. How might God want to change your perspective of the situation that you're going through right now? Is there a shift? A lot of times we want to look at our circumstances and we try to see God's word through our circumstances. But like contacts, if I didn't have mine in right now, you all would be blurry. I got to look through God's word at my circumstances so I can see my circumstances clearly. That's how you get your circumstances to align with his word. You got to shift your perspective. Too many people are searching for God's word through their circumstances and you're confused. You're blind. You can't hear it because your circumstances have a louder voice than God's voice. You got to see through the lens of God's word. They saw their purpose through what God told them. They also saw themselves through who God told them they were, to go take dominion, to go and dominate. You have to see things differently. God wants us to see things through his word. We can't fully grasp how God wants to use us if we don't fully understand how God sees us. On Wednesday night, Pastor Bill started talking about the Bible being a mirror. And so I get nervous when I preach here because you guys are my people. And he started talking about this, and I just started like getting antsy in my chair. And I was like, Beth, he's about to steal it. He's about to steal my point. And so I started praying, and he stopped. So God answers prayers. Prayers work. And so then I get to make this point, and it's more my point today. But he led there, so it's perfect. The Holy Spirit's talking. So we're gonna pick up James chapter 1. Verse 22 through 25 says this, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves, for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, come on, God's word sets us free. And if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for what? Doing it. Our obedience in doing God's word is what shapes us. Get this. This is what this is saying. Is what shapes our identity into who he designed us to be. Too many people go into God's word and they don't do it. We're not doing it. So we walk away and we start doing other things. We start following other voices. And because we're really a spirit man, instead of being shaped by our creator in his image, we allow other voices and other experiences to shape and identify who we are and therefore identify what we go and do. I hope that makes sense. When we do God's word, we don't forget who we are. We became molded and shaped into who we are to become. And that's where the 10 spies missed it. They didn't see themselves as God's word and his promise, what he told them to go and do. Joshua and Caleb did. They saw themselves through his lens. The 10 spies identified with their past. They identified for being slaves and under bondage of Egypt, and they couldn't see a way forward into their future because they were looking through the wrong lens. Joshua and Caleb saw themselves as a people who could go take dominion, who could go and dominate. Why? Dominate. Why? Because God said so. We have to take him at his word. We have to go and do it. Then there's blessing. Those who do the word, then there's blessing. So naturally we want to think about, oh man, all my mistakes, all my pains, all my failures. I can't see a preferred future. I can't see a better future for myself. Man, he uses past and mistakes all the time to write a story to use you for something great in the future. That is like all over the Bible. Don't ever allow the enemy to deceive you from that, ever. But what about the good old days? Man, God used us to do this. Remember when? Man, these were the great days. You know what? God's got something greater for you. We go from glory to glory and faith to faith. He's the lifter of our heads. And this morning, I want you to lift your eyes, to lift your vision, and see the fields that he has for you. They are white with harvest. Yes, it was good. That might be a building block. Your past might be a building block of what God's building in you to go and do something greater, but he's got something more for you. He's got something more for this church. We are crossing over into a new era of ministry that is bigger than what we can imagine right now. That's the nature of God. It's the nature of your creator, of your heavenly father. He loves you. He sees you right where you're at right now. He hasn't forgotten about you, and he has something out in front of you. He's preparing you for an opportunity that's going to lift you, that's going to elevate you. I want to elevate your thinking today because God wants to elevate. And it's not just hype. He's going to elevate the reality of your life, what you live, what you experience. This is real. It's tangible. There was maybe 10 or 11 years ago, I can't remember. It's not even really important, but I was sitting at Starbucks with Pastor Bill at 81st and Garnett, and it's a tiny one. And so there's a lot of people in there, and we were up along the wall where they have those booths. And you guys know Pastor Bill's personality. He's pretty smooth. He kind of eases into conversation. We'll find a way, and we sit down, and I think we had some small talk before, but I remember this because it marked my life, and it makes this point. And he looked at me, he goes, so is World Compassion the only thing you're ever going to do with your life? And I was like, And I just started crying. And the reason I was crying, because it identified with something in me. And I'm sitting there crying, and there's a light, like really sharp-dressed lady sitting right here on her computer, and I'm like trying to pull it together. And I guess I'm kind of emotional sometimes. I'm definitely a passionate person, I guess. And so he goes, now let's go get in the truck. And I'm like, yeah, it's a good idea. So we go. Go get in the truck. We hop in and we process whatever we processed in that moment. But what hit me is I was doing World Compassion, and it looked like at that time I'm probably going to take this from my father and carry that legacy forward. But I knew there was more. Beth and I knew there was more inside of us. There's something more. There's a new vision being birthed inside of us. But yet I felt compelled to stay there and to do this work. But what I found is my identity was in that, and I couldn't see myself doing anything else. I had a limited mindset. And the question that Pastor Bill asked me in that moment was a breaking of permission for me to be able to lift my eyes and to see other fields that God has called me to go and take. And I wasn't held back by my current situation. I still do that today, but over the last 10 years, we've been able to develop a whole other vision that God put on my heart to do that. And I'm standing here to tell you today, there is more inside of me. There is more inside of you. God wants to lift. He wants to elevate. Don't look at your current situation and your past and allow that to prevent you from seeing your future. God is leading you into something bigger and new in the name of Jesus and for our church. It's right now. It's a season that we're in. Joshua and Caleb knew there was more. They were so dadgum irritated with the multitude of people, the Israelites. The Bible says they tore their clothing. So you know what God told Moses? He said, these people, they will never enter the land that I swore them, that I promised them. But Caleb, there's a different attitude about Caleb. He gets to go and enter the promised land. He gets to receive the blessing. I'm telling you, we got to have a little bit of an attitude with what God's called us to go and do. The enemy isn't going to lay down. If you haven't looked at the world lately, it's time to roll. It's time to go. That fire that's on the inside of us, it's time to release it. Yesterday, Logan, my son, he's 9 years old, was playing soccer, and he got confused somewhere in the discipleship process that love is patient, love is kind applies to the field. It doesn't apply to the field. You don't just run along and kind of run alongside the ball. You attack the dadgum ball. You take that ball. That is your ball. You own that ball. You own the kid with the ball. It's bad. A little bit of that spirit's in there still. And Beth, and so I had one of those fatherly moments talking a little bit with that gravelly voice that you got, but it was an elevated voice. So all the parents of the sidelines on that field and some of the other surrounding fields heard me screaming at my son. And I think it scared him too. And Beth just turned around and she goes, they're going to think you're an abusive father. And I told the 9, and I don't have another answer because I told the 9:30, I don't know what to do with that. I'm like, I don't have an answer. It kind of hurt my feeling. And we'll talk about it later today, maybe. But my point is, we got to have some attitude. We got to go play with some attitude. I want my son to have some attitude. I want to have some attitude. I want the coach that we had to invoke some attitude in our players. There's a different spirit about you. There's a different spirit about Jonathan or Joshua and Caleb. In 1 John 4:4, it says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over these people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world." That's for you today. That's for me today. That's for us. Jonathan is armor bearer. You guys remember the story in 1 Samuel chapter 14 are another examples of the few. This was a time where the Philistines were attacking Israel. Israel only had 600 people in their military. The Philistines had thousands of chariots, weapons for days. They had actually cut the blacksmith supply off from the Israelites. So Jonathan and Saul, King Saul was the first king of Israel. Jonathan was Saul's son. They were the only two people that had weapons. That's a bummer. They didn't have a chance. But there was a different attitude about Jonathan. He began to think, man, there's a strategy. There's a way forward here. He pulls his armor bearer together and they begin to strategize a plan together. He begins to pray and he says, "Let's go across to the outposts of the pagans," of those pagans, fun name for them. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few." Tremendous stance of faith. They concoct a plan. Jonathan feels like, hey, if the Philistines say this, I'm going to know that's a sign from God. That's going to be an open door, an opportunity. They kind of taunt him. "Come up after me. The Lord has given them into the hands of the Israelites." Jonathan recognized that the taunting, the arrogance of the Philistines gave him the confidence to seize the opportunity. Jonathan and his armor bearer beat 20 Philistines. The Bible says that they found their bodies over a half an acre of land. It sent the rest of the entire Philistine army into a frenzy. They killed themselves, and Israel gets the land. The few take action. We got to be people that are ready when that opportunity comes to take action. Get yourself ready. He's getting us ready. Get yourself prepared. Get your mindset right. See things differently. Have a little attitude, a humble confidence, not arrogance. Humble confidence puts us in God's grace. Be confident in who God says you are. We got to be ready to take action. The Bible talks about a kairos moment or the timing of God. I believe as a church that we're living in the timing of God where there's a kairos moment. I believe as the body of Christ, there's a kairos moment in the world right now. I don't think it's happenstance for what we've been going through in revival here and what's going on outside the world is just by chance. I think God saw it coming. I think God spoke to Pastor Bill in 2019, said, "I'm leading you to revival. There's going to be deliverance and you're going to go into abundance." You know why? The fire that's in the inside of us is going to hit that dry, brittle ground in the world and revival is going to spread. We're about to release this revival. Get yourself ready. Get yourself prepared. Get ready for the opportunity that is coming. The few understand the authority we have. That's why we can take action. People of action believe they can make a difference because they understand the authority that they have. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." This is why prayer is so important. We put faces to our enemies and we attack one another. It's got to start with prayer. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I want to take a minute. My dad taught me this, and it gives an incredible picture of the authority that we have as believers, the authority in the kingdom. I want to turn your attention to Colossians chapter 2, verses 15. This is going to be out of the Passion Translation. And this is after Jesus being nailed to the cross. He died for our sins. This is what Paul tells us. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoners, they were his. Oftentimes in the church, we celebrate Good Friday, the day that Jesus went to the cross and he died. And then we throw a huge celebration on Sunday for Easter, for the resurrection. What happened on Saturday? My dad used to preach a full message. I don't have time to get into it right now, a deep dive into the word. This is what happened on Saturday. He had a showdown with the devil. What's interesting about this verse is the word stripped, stripping. Depending on the translation that you read, it is a Roman word in a Greek text. The New Testament was written in the Greek language. This is a Roman word. And Paul used it to describe a ceremony that Roman military generals would lead after they defeated an army. The opposing generals would meet at a table. They would put a table, and on the top of the table would be papers that they would sign of defeat and of surrender and of peace. This is the image of what Jesus did with the devil the day after he died. They would sign these papers, and after the generals would get done, the winning general would walk around the other side of the table, and he would begin to remove the medals from the chest of the general he just defeated. Whatever authority you once have, I now have. Whatever land you once possessed, I now possess. This is what Jesus did. Wow. September 2nd, 1945, General Douglas MacArthur, in the Bay of Tokyo, outside the shores of Japan, on the decks of the USS Missouri, my wife and I went to Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, for our honeymoon 16 years ago. And I wanted to go to Pearl Harbor because I wanted to see this spot. General MacArthur had the Japanese generals come, and when you perform an Apak Duomai, it's the general and his men. And you can go and watch a video of this ceremony that General MacArthur had, and you can see the U.S. Navy men just sitting around the ship and watching the ceremony. The Japanese pull up in a boat, and they climb up, and they're at the table. And General MacArthur, leading the Allied forces, sits at the table, and he signs the documents, and the Japanese sign the documents, then the French and the British and the other Allied forces sign these documents. He was a student of Roman war. Awesome, awesome part of our history. But Jesus meets the devil the day after he dies. And in front of all of his angels, devil was a fallen angel. The principalities and the powers of the air listed in this verse are angels. They're his cohorts that are working in heavenly places that we now have authority over. He stands before the devil and he says, "The land you once possessed, I now possess. The authority you once possessed, I now have. You came to bring sickness and disease, I'm the God that heals. You came to bring confusion, I am the Lord their shepherd. I will lead them and guide them into all truth. Matter of fact, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You came to bring darkness, I came to bring light. You are the prince and power of the air, I am the king of kings and the Lord of lords. You are a son of God, I am the son of God." He walks out of the tomb on, you don't have time to cheer. We walks out of the tomb. He walks out of the tomb on Sunday, which we celebrate. And he pulls his disciples together in Matthew 28. Many of you guys are familiar with this verse. And he says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now therefore, go and make disciples." When he said go, there was a transition of authority from heaven to you, to me, to us. This is the authority that we walk in. When we talk about authority, when Pastor Bill preaches on authority, I want you to have this vision ingrained in your mind. He stripped him of his authorities and he handed it to you. He handed it to us. The land that we're about to go possess is ours. As the body of Christ, Lord Jesus, help everybody grasp this. This is the authority we have, but we got to go and do it. If you want to receive the blessing, you got to go take the land. You got to step out. The enemy's not going to lay down. It's time to release this revival. He said, "Make disciples of all nations." Nations is ethnos, or ethnic groups, people groups. He's thinking big when he talks like this. Nations. Yeah, he discipled 12. We should do that. But we've turned our discipleship over in America to ESPN commentators that communicate how we handle social issues. So in a 30-second session, they can disciple millions of people in how they're discipling their mindsets. The church has been thinking too small. It's time to think big again. It's time to lift our eyes. The fields are white with harvest. We hold the authority. We have to understand who we are. We have to understand the purpose that God's called us to and look through the right lens. We've got to see the situation differently right now. A lot of times, and understand my heart in this, not just the Western church or American church, I've traveled the whole world and seen church done in so many different contexts for all my life. But we have institutionalized and we have programmed ministry. And by doing that, and this is what I mean, it's like, okay, the Sunday church. Hey, we're gonna have an outreach in 4 weeks. And it's kind of trained ourselves to, oh, we do ministry when my church organizes something. We're waiting for the church to organize ministry. When you've already been commissioned to go and tell people about Jesus, we don't have to have permission. Now, there's order and there's structure in the body of Christ. Don't miss, that's not like I don't need everybody to go out and start planting a church. There's a way that you do that, and it starts with honor. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We dwindle down ministry to just a platform moment. When these are only equipping moments, your whole life is your ministry. Your life is your platform. Your voice is your microphone. We celebrate the fivefold ministry giftings of apostles, pastors, teachers, prophets, and evangelists from the stage most of the time, or from leading a group or doing something. God's called you, every person in this room right now. Your life is your ministry. That is full-time ministry. People are like, man, I want to get involved in full-time ministry. I don't interact with that many non-Christians. Like, everybody in my world is like a Christian all the time. It's really irritating. You all are in full-time ministry every single day. So as a result of program and institutionalized ministry, ministry looks like this. I stole this graph from a friend of mine. So we think we're making this massive impact, and it's just dripping out the funnel. But God wants to flip the funnel. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. It's time to flip the funnel and release the revival that we have inside of us. God's doing something not only in you in this church, but around the world right now. It is go time. I need you to see things differently. I need you to understand that there's a different spirit about you. Lift your eyes. Your fields are white with harvest. God's got more for you and your family and your business. He's got more for this church. We're just in a season of crossing over. Don't grow weary while we're doing good. There's a shift. There's a new era of ministry that is taking place. But it's time to invert the funnel. I got to get out of here. And so do you. Israel was crossing over in Joshua chapter 3. A year ago, I had the opportunity to preach, and God reminded me of that message of why the wilderness, and we learned lessons from the wilderness before we crossed over. But I want to pick up right at that imagery again. We're now crossing over. There is something. We've gone through a revival season, and we're going to carry that revival with us. It's not going. We're going to keep fanning the flames, right? But we're crossing over. We're moving into a new era of ministry right now. We don't have a complete, clear picture, but God's holding our hand. He's leading us through this. Listen how the Israelites crossed over. They told the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant and to go and step into the water just a few feet and stop there. He leads us in steps. The water began to back up all the way to a city called Adam, began to prepare the way for his people. Then the Ark of the Covenant was told to go to the priests were told to go to the middle of the river and stand there. All the people, every single one of you, we're going to cross over on dry ground. After they cross over, the Ark of the Covenant follows them. He is the beginning, the middle, and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's right here with us in the middle of crossing over. Whatever transition you're going through in life right now, he is right there leading you, holding your hand, making the rough places smooth. The lesson that I want us to learn from this is that there's a pace to this. Larry Stockstill preached an amazing message on the pace of grace years ago that seared this into my own heart. But there's a pace when we allow God to lead. Oftentimes we begin sensing what God's doing. We get excited and it's like, throttle down, let's go. And next thing you know, we're way out in front of God and he yanks that rope back and the leading of the Holy Spirit, he leads us by his grace. It's by grace through faith that we're saved. His grace was what sent his son to the earth. That was his power, his grace, his power, favor, and ability. That was that act of that. our faith responds to that grace. When you feel that tugging, you feel that leading, God's pulling you into something, that's His grace. Your response should be steps of faith, walking with Him. Sometimes you might need to sprint. Sometimes it might be a jog, but staying in His pace is what allows us to run and win. Run the race in a way that you may win, obtain the prize. When we're in God's grace, we're in His pace. This is going to sound cheesy, but I just think it's true. We're in His grace, we're in His pace. If we're in His pace, that's where His peace is. If we're in His peace, we're in His purpose. If you don't have peace, you're probably outside of His purpose or His pace. Timing, kairos timing of God. My final point and my question and appeal to you is, let's stay surrendered as a church. Let's stay surrendered before God. Let's tune our ears into Him. Let's shut out the noise. God wants to use us to go grab the sheep that are scattered like sheep with no shepherd and to pull them in back into a line. A lot of the crazy arguments and division that's in our country right now, I'm not sure if it's so much division as it is God parting the sea and allowing for sound-minded leadership to come straight up the middle and help redirect the course of our country. His church is going to be smack dab in the middle of it. We got to be people that see things differently. We got to be people that have a different attitude. We got to be people that hear His voice. We got to be people that stay surrendered and stay in His rhythm and stay at His pace. There's more that God has for you. There's fields that are white with harvest right in front of you for each one of us, for as a church as a whole. If you're in here and you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're like, what are you talking about, man? I'm telling you, it's a great life because there's freedom in it. There's liberty found in it. All the craziness of the world, all the darkness, the oppression, the doomsday, the anxiety, the fear, the uncertainty. It's not that it's not there. It's just we get to stand in the midst of that in peace. That's what this life is. It's not that there's not difficulty. It's not that there's not tribulation. What did Jesus say? Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. In this world, you will have what? But I've overcome it. So when we surrender our lives to Him, man, He's our covering. He stands over the top of us, protecting us. He's where we find our refuge. That's what you get when you give your life to Jesus and so much more. We got to go eat lunch, otherwise I'd tell you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, we want to give you that opportunity. That is what we are about here. I'm telling you, He loves you. It doesn't matter what your past is. Don't look at your future through your past. It doesn't matter the mistakes. He might use that, but He's got an incredible future for you. Our billboard right now, I think, says your future is bright, because it is. I just need you to see it that way. You give your life to Jesus, He just begins to illuminate your path. He begins to show you a way forward. He makes our crooked places straight. Those rough spots, He smooths them out. The Bible says that He puts roads in the desert, roads in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What looks impossible to you isn't impossible for God. Whatever situation and circumstance you're going through, I'm just telling you, you just need one of those Jonathan moments where you just put a little bit of action to that faith. It just may be that God will work for you. God, we thank You, Father, for Your word. God, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that teaches us individually, that makes this word applicable for Your people. God, I thank You for the work that You've started. You're faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God, in every person in this room, in this church, in the name of Jesus, God, even in our leadership, Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy, God, we thank You for what You're doing. God, we choose today to fan that flame that's inside of us. God, we resurrender ourselves to You to hear Your voice. God, not just to say another voice we won't follow, but we don't follow other voices. We hear Your voice solely in Jesus' name. God, I thank You that You lead and You guide Your people into truth. God, You give them understanding. God, I pray for a boldness and for a courage over Your people who might feel disqualified or unqualified. God, I pray for a new revelation of their identity in Christ Jesus. God, we ask that You show us the way forward. God, help people to see beyond their past into the future that You have for them in Jesus' name. If you're in here, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, can I see your hand? Just raise it up real quick. We're going to be quick with it. It's the greatest decision that you could ever make. Surrender your entire life to God. Would everybody say this prayer with me? God, I thank you for your son, Jesus, for sending him to die on the cross for my sins. Today, I choose to make him the Lord of my life. God, I surrender again to you today. I want to hear your voice, Lord. No other voice will I follow. God, I give you my plans. I give you my worries. I lay down my crowns and my failures. I surrender fully to you. God, I thank you that you're leading me, that you're guiding me, and my future is bright. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.